I'm learning more about how God operates every day that I live. And I understand it's only possible with time, maybe experience in trying to walk with Him. And you realize more and more that there is a God and He works in His own way, and that you're supposed to stick with Him. A couple of weeks ago, I decided that I was going to preach in response to this decision that was made in New York about abortion, but I'm not going to preach about that today, not today. I need some more time with it, and also because of what I already spoke about 2 weeks ago. But I will say this, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 tells us there are certain things that the Lord hates. And one of those things listed there in verse 17 is hands that shed innocent blood. And that's all I have to say about that for now. So the next thing I was going to preach about when I decided not to preach about that, that I prepared for today, was about what God expects from us. And this came on the heels of several questions that I had received from different people about the different dispensations of time and the different things that you read in the Bible about the salvation process. For example, the baptism of John. Was it for the remission of sins? Yes. How was it different than the baptism that came in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost? And then you could go all the way back to the patriarchal age, and what did God expect of the people before the law of Moses? And what did He expect of the Gentiles when the Jewish nation was born through Abraham? I'm not going to preach about that today. I was going to. But I do know what God expects of us today, and that's the most important thing. And that is that we hear His Word, that we have faith in that Word, that we believe it with all of our hearts, that Jesus is the Son of God. That causes us to repent of our sins when we realize what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And then we would confess His name, our faith in Him, and be immersed in water for the remission of our sins, which is the means by which He cleanses us through the power of His blood. And then, of course, to live a faithful life. Those are the things that God does expect of at least this generation and everyone since the day the church began. But I'm going to do something that I've probably done less than five times in 23 years of preaching, and that is I've changed my sermon the day of preaching. And I want to ask you to make a pact with me about it, because my family isn't here today. My wife is with the two youngest up in Paducah seeing her mom and dad. It was her mom's 70th birthday this weekend, so they went up there. And Luke and I stayed behind because he's preaching at Bissell this morning, and I'm preaching here, and he's preaching tonight at Cub Creek also. And so he's got some things to be doing, and we got to have some father-son time together. But I know they're never going to hear this sermon, and I don't want them to hear it. And I don't want you to ask them to listen to it online, because I wouldn't preach it in front of them. And it's because probably for my son's own protection, because I don't want him to know what I'm going to tell you. So, four things I want to talk about today that you need to know about God. And the first one is, I realize that it must have been extremely hard for God as a father to let His son leave home. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm having a hard time with it. I'm having a hard time with it because Luke's going to be leaving home soon. And I got to spend some time with him this weekend, and that is good. You get to that point when your first one leaves the house, you begin to ask yourself if you've done a good job or not. And you think about the opportunities that are no longer going to be available to you and how quickly that time went by. And then you think about the importance of connecting with your kids, each child, in different ways. My father and I had a very close relationship, and we were connected, and we had something together. And I encourage all of you that are parents to find something specific that you can do with your children that builds a relationship with them that's just about the two of you, My dad and I had fishing, and I would go anywhere that my dad asked me to go, but if he wanted to go fishing, well, I was usually begging him to take me fishing. And he was a better fisherman than me, and I didn't care about that. I just enjoyed being with my dad, and I couldn't think of anything that I would rather do in the world than go fishing with my dad. And he built that with me. And I've thought over the years, have I built something like that with my kids? I always liked athletics, but my boys didn't like athletics. They were more book readers. I think we've gone over that. And they just have different things that they like to do, so you try to find out what they like to do, and you engage in that with them. And recently, Luke and I finally found something that we love to do together, and that is watch the Predators. Now, he loves the Predators now, and he will wear the gear, and he'll go with me to the games. And so I was trying to get tickets to a Predators game with him last night, and we've done that a few times. And I'm glad that we have that. And back to what I wanted to say about God and letting his son leave home. My son is getting ready to leave and have a great experience. He's going to go to college, and hey, let's face it, he's probably not going to call much, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to leave, and you're supposed to cleave to the new things. I know that when I left for college, I didn't call my parents much. But with our Savior, he didn't leave to enjoy it. He left everything for us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says that God chose us in Christ even before the foundation of the world. And what that means is that God knew what Jesus was going to do even before he created the universe. He knew that his son was going to suffer and he was going to die for the sins of the people that he was going to create. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, it tells us that it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And there are other passages like Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, where Peter is preaching that first gospel sermon, and it says that Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. God didn't just let his son leave home. He made him leave. He sent him. Sent him to die. And knowing what God knew about what his son was, well, what the son leaving meant, I imagine that must have been very difficult for God. A second thing that I want to talk about with regard to what you need to know about your Heavenly Father is that the nature of God is to look at a way to extend mercy and grace, rather than to exercise just wrath and punishment. And I want to make a statement that if God were to exercise wrath and punishment, it would be just, because we're sinful people. But he wants to extend grace, and he wants to be merciful. And I have to think about what must be in the mind of God from time to time when he looks at our sin. He can't be pleased with it. It can't give him a good feeling inside that we do things that caused his son to die. So I want to tell you the rest of the story. Yesterday, I went down to Lebanon to watch a race. I didn't run in the race. It was a half marathon. I went down there to watch some of my friends run it. And I decided that I was going to try and get Predators tickets for me and Luke. And it's hard to get them, by the way. They're sold out. And you can't buy them through Ticketmaster anymore unless you're a resident inside the Nashville city limits, because I've tried to do that, even at the window. So really, the only way you can get them is in a secondary way. And so you have to go through other channels to get tickets. Have you ever done that, gone through other channels to get tickets? Have you ever bought tickets online from people or people that you called on the phone? And so there was an advertisement online to try and buy these tickets. And, you know, I'm trying to have a couple special moments before he's gone. And so I called the number, or I texted the number, and then the man called me, and we made a deal about tickets. And they were going to be $100 a piece, $200. And there are different ways to pay and do this and send it through different avenues of electronic payments. And there are all these warnings, and you can preach to me later about how dumb I was, okay, to do this. You probably know where this is going. But And the man talked to me on the phone. I told him who I was, told him what I preached. I gave him our website to check a look at the church. And this man was from Nashville. We had a conversation. He's going to send it through an email address. Tried to send the money electronically. Said he didn't receive it. And I saw that it didn't really go through. So I saw that he had given me the wrong email address and by one letter. And so we fixed it. And then, of course, I didn't get the tickets. So guess what I did? Paid him twice, probably. So it was $400. But again, you're going to think, Jeremiah, you're so dumb. I mean, I can't believe I'm listening to you. We need to get someone else up there that's with some wisdom to speak to us about things. And anyway, so I called the electronic bank service. I'm leaving all names, as you know, and even companies out of this. And I waited for 45 minutes online to actually talk to someone, you know, a human being, and probably not going to get the money back. I might get the money back. But here's the thing. I talked to this guy on the phone. I had his cell phone number, and so of course I was texting, giving him the opportunity to give me the money back if he wanted to be a good guy. And nothing, of course, was happening, and I knew that I had been had. But I knew he was receiving the text because he got the others, and they weren't being sent back to me. And at the time, all this stuff was going on. I was trying to watch this half marathon. I'm trying to talk to somebody. And you need to concentrate on one thing at a time, okay? And I started thinking, have you ever been ripped off before? Has anyone ever broken into your house and stolen something from you? Has anybody ever tried to take advantage of you when you're in a weak moment and all you were trying to do was something nice for somebody else? And how did that make you feel? Isn't that hard? So I thought about all the different things that I could text this fellow. And these are when we have very human moments and we have to really taper back a little bit. And this is what I texted. But this didn't happen in 5 minutes. I have forgiven you. I'm not upset about it. But if you ever need anything, I hope that you'll come to the church where I preach in Cookeville. And I'll help you. Now, there were some other texts before that that said, if you needed the money, you could have told me your story and I would have just given it to you. But that's what I ended with. And I thought about how God is gracious and how he wants to extend mercy instead of be harsh when we have been so evil and wicked. Psalm 86 and verse 5, for you, O Lord, are good, ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Verse 15 says, but you, O Lord, are good, a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 130 verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I have to be honest, I felt sorry for this person that took advantage of me because I knew that their heart was not in a good place. And if they knew the Lord, and if they knew the mercy and the gracious nature of God, maybe they would turn, be different. Because the third thing I want you to know about God, it was hard for him to leave, let his son leave. Secondly, he's a merciful God. But thirdly, God's ultimate sadness is not our sin. His ultimate sadness is not in our sin. His grief is that people ignore what he has offered to save us from that sin. I realized as I was thinking about what was going on in my mind when someone had been dishonest with me, and that I could easily resort to anger. And I could try to oppress this person. Maybe I could get some type of retribution. That I was looking at the wrong person. I needed to be looking at myself. Because how many times have I been the liar? Promises that I made to God and not kept. How many times have I been the thief? When I've had time and resources that I've wasted. When I could have found a way to honor God with the blessings of my life. Ways in which I was not generous. Ways in which I was not kind. I realized that I was the hard-hearted sinner, not this other person. Because what about all the times that I didn't answer God's pleas that I might change from my wickedness and the sins that I know about myself? And I think that God's ultimate sadness is not that we sin because he knew that we were going to sin from the beginning. But his sadness is that he has offered his son to pay the price for us. And we don't take advantage of that. I read many years ago a story of a father who had a little boy. And this father worked a drawbridge down south. You know, that type of bridge that you'd open up for the ships to pass by. And then you'd put it down. And the trains would go over the bridge. And sometimes his little boy would come and spend some time with his dad at work, like all boys like to do. And on one particular day, it was a beautiful day, like it's going to be later on today. And father had brought a sack lunch, and he sat down with his son, and they sat down on the bridge, maybe a few hundred yards away from the control house. And they watched the ships go by. Well, time got away from them, and the sound came. It was the sound of the oncoming train. And there was time, but the father, in a panic, told the boy to get up and run with him to the tower so they could put down the bridge for the train. And as they were running, the boy fell into the tracks of the train and got his clothes caught. And his father couldn't get him out. And the train was getting closer and closer. And the boy was trapped. The boy just couldn't get out, and the father couldn't get him out. And the father knew that he had a choice to make at that point. There were a lot of people that were going to die if he didn't put that bridge down. But if he put the bridge down, his son was going to die. And you can imagine what he finally decided to do. Now, I would ask you this question. What would you do? What would be your first-ditch thought? What would you do? I think you'd try to save your son. I think you'd do everything that you possibly could. Maybe let that train run over you both. But that father knew what he needed to do. And so he put down the bridge. And the train went by. And what did that father see as he looked into the cars of that passenger train? He saw people lifting up their glasses, eating and drinking and just carrying on with life. And he, from the tower of that control bridge, he screamed, "Don't you understand what I've done? Don't you know what I've done for you? I've given up my son for you, and you don't even care. You don't even care that I saved your life." Well, I will tell you that my wife does not know that I did not get tickets. And she had offered to buy us tickets. And so guess what I let her do? I let her buy us tickets. Didn't tell Luke that I'd lost the money. Told him we were going to get tickets. So we went to the game. And it was a beautiful night. And we were walking. We were there a little early. We were walking down on the strip there by where the Predators play. And we only need to be there about 5 or 10 minutes to realize that's not our scene. Have you been down on the strip on a Friday night or Saturday night? I mean, the drinking and the smoking and the carrying on of things. And I thought that that was a lot like the scene of that train that that man must have seen from his booth. That there's a whole world out there of wickedness and sin and people that don't know God. And I'm thankful that I'm a Christian. And I'm thankful for my family teaching me about my Savior, Jesus Christ, and letting me be a part of the church. And Luke and I were like, we don't need this scene. We were just trying to occupy some time before the game started. We went into a couple of the country music places that had some history to them and looked at that. But I think about a God who's sad. Who's sad when he's done so much for the world, and the world will not respond. And that must break his heart. And I realize that we're really one of two places. In both cases, we're sinners, okay? We're either Christians, but we're not doing as well as we could be doing. And because of that, we need to look at ourselves and not whatever everyone else is doing. We can look at the sins of other people and try and justify ourselves and say that we're good people, but that's not going to cut it. We need to look at ourselves. We need to realize that I can do better for a God who has done so much for me. We're in that chair, or perhaps we're in this other chair, where we're just people out there ignoring the sacrifice of Christ, just like what I saw last night, just like what that man saw when those people raced over the bridge in the cars of that train. So that's number three. God's sad, but not about our sin. He's sad about the fact that we won't respond to His sacrifice. And here's the last thing. God is going to reward us when we make the right choices. We have a God that rewards us. Now, I want you to look back to that Matthew chapter 5 passage, which I changed the reading this morning. In that Matthew chapter 5 passage, 43 through 48, what does Jesus say? That we're supposed to do good to other people, even when they take advantage of us. Does that mean that it's going to be a good time? Does that mean that that's going to be an enjoyable experience? Now, why does He say that? He says so that you might be complete, so that you might be like your Father, because He's good to us even though we're not good to Him. See, the only way that we can have the heart of God is to act like God and extend kindness when other people extend hatred. And God is going to reward us when we make the right choice. What's the greatest sermon that you have ever seen? I didn't say heard. I said, what's the greatest sermon that you've ever seen? I saw a great sermon today. Got to be in my top five when I was sitting over there because I could see Georgia. And every single word of that, it is well with my soul. I watched your face. It's a beautiful sermon that I saw today. God is going to reward us when we do the right thing. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes, and in Him, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. In Genesis chapter 9, it says that He will remember His covenant between Him and us. And you know what He says He'll forget? In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, I will not remember your sins. God is going to reward us when we do the right thing. And so it can be well with our soul. I probably would not have preached this sermon if it had not been for the last thing that happened yesterday before we went to the game. And before I say this, I want you to know that I don't care a thing about money. I never have. Money is just a means to an end. The only reason why we go to work is so we can get paid to pay the bills. But I wish there was no such thing as money in this world. Paul said to Timothy that a lot of people will drown themselves in sorrows because of it, those who pursue it. I was getting home from all of that mess, and I'd come to the office to try and connect with the people that I really just wanted to shut down this guy's business. So that's the reason why I called who I called. I knew that I'd probably lost the money. When I got home and I was pulling into the driveway, and I thought, I'll stop at the mailbox. I opened up the mailbox and there was one thing in there. You know what it was? It was a check. It was a check for an overpayment that we had made on a bill that we had. To the penny, $400. Now, I'm not saying I don't care about the money. I don't care about the money. I can just as well rip that check up. It just reminded me that God works things out if we do the right thing. And I just thought, I probably better change my sermon. So I want you to know that God loves you very much. And you need to obey Him. You need to be the people that He created you to be. We live in a wicked, wicked world and struggling, and we would be lost without a God like the God we've got.
Our God is a good God. Spend some time with your kids. Teach them the things that they need to know before they leave home. Then turn them over to God and He'll work it out. And if you're not in a right relationship with God, you can really blame no one but yourself, because He has done everything that He could possibly do to try to get you to love Him. And He's doing it even now. I promise you that if you will embrace the love of God, you will never, ever regret it. If you need to come forward for any reason this morning, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.